Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Rongiorno. I'm joined today by a special guest, Miss Insha Fitzpatrick. She's a writer who's known for books like Who Sparked the Montgomery Bus Boycott? She's the co-author of the graphic novel series Oh My Gods and one of the founders of the genre-themed website Dismember. She's here today to discuss her new series, a totally factual field guide to the supernatural, and specifically the newest release in the series, Chilling with Ghosts. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you here because I think we're going to be best friends, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to read this one thing from the new book, Chilling with Ghosts, and this is how I knew you and I are bound to be best friends. Okay. If we're talking about the legacy of Ghostbusters, we've got to talk about the movies that followed the original. In 2014, a reboot was announced. It would star four talented actresses as the new Ghostbusters, Leslie Jones, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, and Kristen Wiig. The internet went wild. Some people were excited by the all-woman cast, while others weren't so happy. The movie trailers were met with intense backlash. Why? Sexism. That's how I knew we were going to be very good friends.
It was kind of like one of those things where it was just like, well, you know what? Call it like you see it. it kind of sucks. And like I went to go see like the new Ghostbusters like two or three times in theaters because I really like it. And I was just like, oh, like, because I wish that like I could. I've always wanted to be a ghost hunter when I was like a little kid. So yeah. Like actually being able to see women do the thing that like I wanted to do when I was a kid, it was just like, oh snap, that's really cool. So when the internet got mad, it was just like, oh no, we're going backwards.
The internet got so mad. But I find that's a good litmus test for people because I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan, but even within the Ghostbusters fan, I have to admit Ghostbusters is a kind of toxic fandom. A lot of it, not all of it. And when people are like Ghostbusters fans, but they don't like the 2016 one, I'm always like, the 2016 one's like, it's not as good as the original, but like, of course not. It's funny. It's got good characters. It should have gotten a sequel. What's not to like?
I absolutely agree. I think with the Ghostbusters, I think with any horror franchise, there's the ups, the downs, the middles, the beginnings, like all of like Friday the 13th is like my favorite horror franchise like in the world.
Really?
Yeah. And the thing about Friday the 13th is that none of that in the timeline that it is makes sense. Jason goes to space, but Jason X is a fantastic movie because it makes no sense.
Well, isn't like in the third one, there's somebody hunting Jason and he has like a memory of Jason going after his sister, but that doesn't make sense because Jason wouldn't have been alive then.
it makes no sense, especially even in like the Halloween franchise. Of that you kind of go, like, it's always, that's broken down into timelines where it's just like, it's the originals, it's this, it's Rob Zombie, now it's David Gordon Green, and it's like kind of like we compartmentalize those. And I think with Ghostbusters it's kind of the same thing where we put them in a box where it's this, it's the originals, it's the now ones, and it's the ones that are made for kids. And it's kind of just like, I mean, Ghostbusters as a franchise is still Ghostbusters. Yeah, some of it doesn't appeal to everybody and some of it might not appeal to you, but at the same exact time, it's still pretty cool that we even have these movies.
Yeah. It's definitely not worth like bullying people off of Twitter.
100% not. It's so much energy just to be like, I'm upset and I want to make you all upset too. It's okay. We get it, but like, let's just all have fun.
Yes. Insha, I, in all honesty, really, really loved your book. I read Chilling with Ghosts first, and then just last night, before I talking to you, I was like, let me read Hang with Vampires. And I love that too. This book is, okay, if you've got kids, it's great for the kids. If you're trying to raise your kids spooky, this is definitely a book you want to give them. But if you're like me, a middle-aged person who loves spooky stuff and can't wait for the heat to be over so it could be fall, like this book is like It's like a warm pumpkin spice latte. I just cuddled up with this book and read it one afternoon and was just like, if I had read this as a little kid, it would have been like my favorite thing in the world.
That's like the best compliment ever.
I love it. I absolutely love it. The illustrations, I think, are absolutely gorgeous. Layla Bolex, is that right?
Shout out to her.
So, okay. So there are so far two books in the series, totally factual field guide to the supernatural. How did these books come about?
So, fun story. Quark actually reached out to me to be like, hey, we know that like you're really into spooky stuff, so do you want to write spooky books? And I'm just like, yes. Like immediately yes. And then working with my awesome editor, she kind of gave me this whole thing that was just like, here's this, go for it. Wow. And I was just like, dope. And then now we have this like really great rapport where it's just like every time she gives a topic, I'm just like, let's go, girls. And like when the second book came out, when the topic dropped, I freaked out. Because I love vampires so much, but ghosts and werewolves are my two favorite supernatural creatures of all time and supernatural beings of all time. Uh-huh. So when this one dropped, I freaked out. She was just like, are you good with that? And I'm just like, oh, absolutely, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. And then we took it from there. But yeah, they reached out. They said, let's do spooky stuff. And I'm just like, let's go.
Oh my God. Were you like mind blown? Because Quirk is so cool. I mean, like, they've done so many cool things. They did Monster, She Wrote, which is like an amazing illustrated book about women in science fiction and genre. And they published My Best Friend's Exorcism by Grady Hendrix, which I think is like one of the best horror comedy novels of like the last decade.
Yes. I don't think I've ever told them this, but like I've always wanted to write something for them. Like my ultimate goal in life was just like get published by a cool company. And yeah. Like they were like tippy top of the list because like I like the niche things that they publish. Yeah. So I was just like, please one day let this be my end goal and act like knowing that they publish spooky stuff like Grady and even like Chapman, mm-hmm. I legitimately was just like, maybe I can find my home here. And then my mind completely blown. I freaked out. I remember getting the email and being like, I'm sorry. Is this today? Is this my life? This But it's been everybody there so wonderful, so lovely, and it's been such a rewarding and absolutely cool experience. And I've grown, I think, as a writer while working with them and even while working with other people. But with them, they were just like, we're not going to tone down your spooky, but we need to tone it down for kids.
sure. Yeah. One of the things that I love about the book is, or both books, is, you know, they're called totally factual, and they are totally factual, but the book doesn't, how do I put it? Sometimes people make facts the enemy of fantastic, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, facts are here to debunk fantastic, but this book is full of facts, it's full of history, it's full of literary history, it's full of science, but at the same time, that all supports an imaginative idea towards fantasy, mm-hmm. which I think is what makes it so special. Like, you know, the Chilling with Ghosts, you talk about like, do you believe in ghosts? Why would you believe in ghosts? And even if you don't, that's okay. Cause there are ghost stories and you don't have to believe in them. They really exist. Mm-hmm. So was there like, well, a lot of research that went into like putting it all together?
Oh my God, so much. Really? Like I had like notebooks and little pieces of paper that I wrote stuff down on. And each chapter since each chapter deals with something else, especially with the history and the science and everything, and even like the little bubbles that go in between there with the according to science and stuff, it just, we try to aim it to be like, even though these are fantastical, these are supernatural, they may not exist for you or they may exist for you, we try to keep it in a level of just like, these ideas come from somewhere. So all of history, like vampire history, comes from the history that like we've already known. Like it comes from like the Vlad the Impaler, the Elizabeth Bathory. It comes from like urban legends and lore and folklore and stuff like that. It all comes from somewhere. So it's like, my job was basically to be like, even though these are supernatural, these are fantastical, these things come from somewhere. These ideas come from somewhere. These everythings they start from a point, and then we make them into the things that we know now.
Right.
And that was the really big thing for me in doing the research. And it took a lot. I really, again, shout out to my editor, because it took a lot for her and me to kind of like look at all these things and be like, oh man, like that can veer off into 17 different directions. You can talk about decomposition all day long and like in like 20 different ways. But narrowing it down, like doing the research, narrowing it down and supporting the idea that, again, supernatural, still factual.
yeah. And I mean, it's a really thoughtful book, and I gotta say, I love the sort of wholesome, funny, but like, I'm trying to not use the word progressive but like when you talk about confirmation bias,
yeah,
just say like, and by the way, like, you know, make sure that you're watching and reading verified news and keep your mind open, like little things like that. I'm like, that's awesome, like like that makes me as an adult like cheer, because it's not like heavy-handed, it's not like, you know pushing any sort of specific agenda. It's just like, be cool to people. Like even when you talk about like, hey, if you meet a ghost, like, you know, be nice to them. You know what I mean? Ask how they're doing. Don't just like run in there. Like, just don't, you don't want to bust a ghost. Like, you just want to like talk to a ghost.
Because it's like, they don't really want to like hurt you. They just like, I mean, some of them do. Let's not negate poltergeists at all.
yeah.
But like it was always, it's always like this thing. And I think with both books where it's just kind of like, we want to give you the information in a way that like kids can understand and adults can like kind of even have it just sink in a little bit like deeper.
Yeah.
Cause even I remember when I turned in the draft for Ghost, and I legitimately was just like, we have to put like a whole thing about death in here, mm-hmm. because I think like that's really important. That's like how you get Ghost. But I think that we need to explain it in a way where a kid can understand it if they read it by themselves, and an adult can talk to a child if they needed to get it understood. And because it's such an existential and heavy topic to, and in heavy book too, in a way, to like go through, it's kind of just like, we want it to just be soft, kind, gentle, but still be like spooky, horrific, and rawr.
yeah. I mean, I, you know, maybe because I'm an old person, I'm focusing on the wrong things, because it's so fun and it's so funny and it's so full of like any kid would absolutely like eat this up if it, like, you know what I mean. But I just was struck by the things that like I thought, like, how cool to, like, basically there's a section called Chill Vibes, which basically is kind of like, if you're having panic or anxiety, here's ways that you can calm yourself down, which is like, you know, I have depression and anxiety, and so is many. So like, if I had read that as a little kid, oh my god, my life would have changed. like so cool. Like, what made you like want to put something like that in there?
It's kind of, it's just like how you said, like, it's like how I would have wanted to be talked to as a kid, because I also have like anxiety and depression, and when mine gets severe, I don't necessarily know what to do. So I'm like, now that I'm an adult, it's kind of just like, well, I want to be able to tell kids and even adults and anybody who's reading this, just like, you know, there are some ways that you can, like, if you can't, if you don't want to reach out, you can help yourself. If you do want to reach out, then there are people there to like pick you up and help you and stuff like that. It's, but like, it's for every single thing too. It's just like, there are ways to absorb this information, mm-hmm. and there are ways to help and like heal yourself, because we also have like this really big thing about grief in there too. Yeah. And that was like one of the things that like I really needed to be talked to as a kid about, mm-hmm. because death is a whole one thing, depression and anxiety is a whole one thing, and then grief was just like a whole other, loss and grief is a whole other topic. It was just like, how do you talk about, like, you're never going to see this person again, you're never going to see, yeah. this thing again, and like the feelings that come up, because it could be like 1 year, 1 week, 1 day that you just all of a sudden it just smacks you in the face.
Right, right.
But it's those type of things in this book that I'm really, really proud of, because it's just like, I wanted to be able to talk to people like I, again, like how I would have wanted to be talked to as a kid.
Yeah,
and yeah. it made me feel so happy to be like, it's okay, it's gonna be okay, gotta get through the hard stuff first. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's so, I mean, every person, every conscious person has like the moment in their life where they learn about what death is, mm-hmm. and it's so, like, my favorite quote about death is from Susan Sontag. She said, death is the opposite of everything, which is so true. Like, death just does, it doesn't make sense. Like, even though everybody does it, it just doesn't make sense. Like, there's the continuity ends, like, you were here and now you're not. Like, it's, as an adult man, I have problems grappling with it. Yes. So I guess one of the things that I really like about your writing is you have a gift for taking complex ideas and making them sort of, putting them in a sort of plainly palatable way for a child reader,
yeah.
which I think is difficult to do.
100%. Because even as myself, again, as an adult, it's kind of just like, I want to talk to people how I would have wanted to be talked to, even as an adult, like as a kid, talk to me like this, or as an adult, talk to me like this. But then also, it was really important to like get everything in there, especially mm-hmm. when like some, the most difficult parts for me in writing it was like to exclude some of the gory bits things. And my editor had to be like, you know, we can't put that in, right? And I'm just like, please. but I think after doing Vampire, it was a little bit easier to be able to talk to people and to talk to kids, adults, and teens, how mm-hmm. it's just like, all of these things come from somewhere. Yeah. All of these feelings are valid. If you do or you don't believe in ghosts, that's okay. I'm not here to make you believe in ghosts. I'm not here to disregard your belief in ghosts. Like, it's a whole, like, we're trying to talk to like the whole spectrum of people.
Yeah.
And then like try to, I'm going to use, it's like that Coke commercial where it was just like, you just want to teach the world to sing or something.
right. No, I mean, it's spooky and it's got all of those like autumn vibes, but it's like, it is very like sweet, in a real way. What, can I ask you, what, when you were a kid, what kind of books were you into? Were there any books that like captured your mind?
A lot of ghost books. A lot of ghost books. Like, my first big read was Frankenstein. And then
really? How old were you?
Oh God. I want to say I was 10 or 11 when I read Frankenstein.
So impressive. I didn't read Frankenstein to graduate school.
Like,
You were 10. That's amazing.
I was like that big person who was just like, I just want to meet people. And like, but then like I read like a whole bunch of like R.L. Stine, Fear Street Saga to like balance it out.
Yeah.
And but my first big introduction to like the world of like ghosts was like The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson, which is still one of my favorite books to this day because it just captures the imagination like I have never before. Like, my other goal in life is legitimately to like write something as cool as like The Haunting of Hill House, and I'm just like, that's not possible. I'm not gonna try that goal anymore. X that out. But that was those were like my big reads, and then we now spiral from there.
What about film?
Oh no, don't do that. I guess my biggest one, my two favorite movies of all time, and they are the same thing. Literally, I think was done almost at the same time. One person got famous off of it. Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho
Yeah.
and Peeping Tom.
Tom, wait, no, Powell, what's his first name?
Michael Powell.
Michael Powell.
Yeah, you got it.
You're gonna love what we're doing. This Halloween's a big deal on this podcast. We do four specials a year. We do the whole month. So this year we're doing Slashix. So I already have recorded the first episode, which is the majority of it is about 1978 Halloween. But we talked a little bit about Peeping Tom and a little bit about Psycho. And we're doing Friday the 13th, which, because there is a Friday the 13th this October. And then we're doing Texas Chainsaw and A Nightmare on Elm Street. You should listen to them. I think you might like them.
I want I will I swear I will. Like, I'm so I get so excited like hearing people's thoughts about especially Psycho, Peeping Tom, Texas Chainsaw, and Friday the 13th, because like those were my movies growing up. Like, I have on the other side of my wall, like I'm like looking at is like Texas Chainsaw Massacre poster. And then Peeping Tom poster, Psycho poster right above me, like Midsommar behind me. Like, it's kind of, but like those are my big movies. And then Evil Dead 2013 is one of my favorite movies too,
That
but that
right,
came out.
really?
Yeah. Unpopular opinion. I love that movie more than the first Evil Dead. It's on the same level of the second Evil Dead for me, like, and it's just I love the twist ending of the 2013 one. I love Mia as a character. I love that movie so much.
Did you like Evil Dead Rise?
I did. I think it did a really good job at harking back to the second movie and even doing a lot of stuff from 2013. And I was really impressed by some of the kills in it. And I was just like, good job, my man. Good job. Killed it. And I love one of my favorite things about horror is confined horror, where they're in a single place location for like the rest of the movie. The Thing is one of my favorite movies because of that. And it's so wild what you could do there. So I'm really happy that they made them more confined in this whole thing. It's really impressive. So I was just like, good job.
I thought it was awesome too. Are there I don't know if you're allowed to answer this, but are there like going to be more books in the series?
Hope so.
You hope so.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do next? Werewolves?
Oh, I would love to do a werewolf. I would love to do werewolves. I would love to do an alien one, perhaps. Gosh, there's
Witches.
so many. Witches, I would love to do. There's not a lot there, but like, and I know we can't do it for kids. But my one that would be really cool is like demonology. we can't do it.
Right.
But there's a lot of movies to talk about within that I think that would be really
Yeah.
cool.
It's funny, like that's another cool thing, which is like let's say you're a spooky little kid, right? And you get this, you get your hands on this book. It does that cool thing of suggesting other stuff. Like you can start your journey here. Like for well, first of all, you have a cool chapter at the end about like writing your own story, which is so cool and fun. But then like there's like the library scavenger hunt and like finding these other books. And then like you talk about other movies and what I love is it's sort of you're sort of respectful about like some of the movies you talk about like aren't child appropriate but are appropriate to this conversation, so they should be mentioned. So I really love that. Like some kid's gonna be like, I gotta watch Nosferatu now.
That was the really sticky part. I think, especially, I think for a ghost, it was more okay. But for vampires, it was kind of like, there are just some that I cannot suggest.
Right,
But
you yeah.
I could, like,
Bordello of Blood can't
yeah,
really.
like, but I can stick some stuff in there, like Ganja and Hess. No kid should watch that. But at the same time, I'm just like, it's really important to filmmaking, especially about vampires and about like diverse vampires, because we don't really have that many. So it's kind of just like, one, can we please make more black vampires or people of color vampires? That would be so dope. But then, two, it's a really important conversation to have because like the diversity within vampires is so cool and so dynamic, and it's exploding, but at the same time, it's like kind of keeping itself like in this tight little bubble. It's strange, but I think with Ghost, it was kind of just like, we're okay.
Right, well,
I think
yeah.
I can suggest most.
Vampires slip off into either very violent or very sexual, because the seductive thing is such a big part of vampirism, which you can't. Although you do talk about hypnosis a little bit, which is cool. But yeah, like this is like it's the perfect starter pack for like if you're trying to raise your kids spooky, which you should be. Like this is so much fun. Like, and I love books for young people. I collect them. I feel like if you love arts and aesthetics, like the easiest, cheapest, coolest art to get your hands on is like in the children's section of every bookstore.
Yes, 100%.
Like, of course in my collection I have Where the Wild Things Are. Like any page of Where the Wild Things Are is like an amazing painting that you would want. And this book is these two books. I should really be talking about just the last one, but these two books, they both came out recently. The one that just came out was Chilling with Ghosts, but the one before that, Hanging with Vampires, is also super cool. And I love the illustrations. Probably my favorite is this is a deep cut, but if you should go out and get the book and then you can know what I'm talking about. Page 115, you have they're like kind of like Ghostbusters, but not copyright infringing Ghostbusters.
TM Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but they're kind of like, but they're also kind of like, I'm showing it to you like it's not your book, but like being at home, I'm holding up the book like showing.
No, I love examples.
They're kind of like steampunky Ghostbusters, which is really
Yes, the
cool.
art is just insane, and I swear, when there is a little like thing in there when we talk about Edgar Allan Poe, where there's these two crows that are like talking to each other, and I legitimately DM'd Layla, and I was just like, I'm getting those tattooed. Those are my favorite things ever. Like, there are some stuff
Did
in the book
you?
that I was just like, I haven't yet, but I'm like, I'm planning it so hard because I think that illustration, all of the illustrations are absolutely gorgeous, and I could not
Gorgeous.
have asked for a better partner on this book with, because like it's just bonkers how beautiful it is. But then like there's some of them that are in there that I legitimately sometimes like look at it and I'm just like, How this is so gorgeous.
Yeah, like this, the one of the first illustrations in the book is the
Oh my
trick-or-treating
God.
kids. Like, if you can have
Yes.
a, if you could take a snapshot of the inside of my soul, this is what it looks like.
It's so good.
Is so good.
There's
So what's that? Well, tell me, what's that process like? Like, you're right, you're researching and you're writing. Are you talking to Lila like along the way? Is she working separately? Are you kind of saying this would be a cool thing to illustrate or this might be a cool thing to illustrate? Like, how does that work?
So for us, we're kind of separated, but like we do talk like on the down low. So like we're kind of separated in a way where it's just like my editor will suggest some things, and then from those things we'll kind of she'll go back and she'll go to design with those things. So it's kind of like working on a graphic novel where it's just like designs over here, writings over here. None of the two shall meet until the very end, which is kind of like cool because like we get to I don't have to stress about like I don't know if this should be illustrated or not. Please help me. And like my editor can deal with that with design and stuff, which is awesome and so great. And they do such an amazing job. Also, shout out to Andy because the design of that book is funky, fresh. But yeah, we. But like when we do talk, I literally will shout at her and be like, "This is so gorgeous. What is up? Like, this is so stunning." And
Really
talk
is.
about it for a little bit. But like, oh, magnificent art.
Oh, really, it really is. It's absolutely gorgeous. And oh, going back to what you were saying before, thank you for teaching me the difference between ravens and crows, because I had no idea. In my mind, I never even thought about the difference, but I think in my life, I think I'm gonna admit, I think I stupidly would just say them both like they were the same thing. And then you have a little
I
section about like how they're different, and I'm like, wow, yeah.
honestly didn't know either. So like when I looked it up, I was just like, I'm looking at two black birds. What's happening right now? And then actually like knowing the difference, I was just like, oh. So now every time I drive in my car or I see a black bird, I'm just like, that's a crow. You can't hide from me now.
The power of research.
Right? It's also like learning the difference between like a casket and a coffin, which
Yes.
also blew my mind. And even
I've
my editor was
never.
just like, there's a difference.
If you go to a funeral, like in the Western world, you're probably seeing a casket. Caskets are just rectangle shaped and they're hinged, like the top is part of it. A coffin is like that sort of like diamond Dracula shape, and the top comes off.
Yes. It's like six-sided, four-sided. Six-sided, four-sided.
Totally factual. So, is there, what else are you working on right now?
Ooh, that's a really hard question to answer because all of my stuff is like super top secret until I can actually reveal more, which is like it's so heartbreaking because like I want to shout it from the rooftops, but then like I know per contracts they're just like don't do that or
Don't
we
shout
can
it from
push you off that
Okay. But you're
roof.
working on something that you really like right now, huh?
I'm super stoked when I get to announce it because I feel like I was working on it last year and a little bit of this year and I was just like oh that's like the thing that like this is like the thing that I'm it's the thing that kind of made me realize like this is the thing that I'm meant to do, which is a really big yeah it's a
Wow.
really big thought but it made me kind of go like I've always loved storytelling and I've always loved characters and the one thing that I was working on where I was just like I think this is like a me, like this is like a me thing. This is a thing that I can do, like because I've never had like that much confidence in a lot of the things that I was working on, or a lot of things that I do. So it's kind of just like when I actually finished it and I turned it in, and then we kind of like, I kind of sat with the feeling of just like, it's done.
Yeah.
And I'm in love with it. Like, and I love this. It's a very odd feeling, because it's just like, I've always just known I wanted to do this, but it's just kind of like, I think this is meant for me. And I turned that in when I turned in Chilling with Ghosts. So it was kind of just like a twofer of like, I can do this, man. I can actually kind of like do this.
Okay. So you can't talk about it. Is the other project also aimed at a similar age group, reader group?
Yeah.
Like Friday the 13th is one of your favorite movies, right? Is there like, you know, like a really hardcore like novel in you that's going to come out? Or is this like, you like the spooky, you know, you like spooky and scary, but you like doing the spooky?
In my head, there is a novel brewing in my head somewhere, but I want to lean into the spooky, scary, and gory.
Mm-hmm.
Because my favorite types of films are the gore-sploitation era of like the 1970s, which is 1960s, 1970s, which is so niche. Such a niche, weird thing that is like compartmentalized in my mind.
Like what kind of stuff do you mean?
So, I don't know if you have you ever heard of like the director Herschel Gordon Lewis?
Yeah.
So, like Blood Feast, The Wizard of Gore, Color Me Blood Red, like those type of things.
All right.
And yeah, and then I love the Video Nasty era too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is like every time I tell somebody, they're like, what?
Yeah.
How? When? What's going on in that brain of yours? And I'm just like, I don't know, man. But it's like that kind of stuff. I really want to show my love and appreciation for, and then put it on paper in some kind of way.
Yeah.
I don't know how yet, but I'm like, one day I will. But there is like, there's some things that like I'm writing down for a perhaps a first novel, but I'm still kind of like working out the details, working through all of the stuff, rewatching a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah.
So is that part of your process, watching stuff, consuming stuff?
Yeah, a lot. Even for like these two books for the Totally Factual Guides, I sat down, rewatched Blade, rewatched Ganjin Hess, rewatched A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. I usually do a lot of research when it comes to my own stuff or stuff that like I really want to do. I try very, very hard to go back to source materials, and a lot of, I don't want to say content sounds so weird, but like a lot of just media that I love, that I would want to not imitate, but I'm inspired by.
Yeah.
And that's like the really big thing that I know for a lot of the stuff, like one thing that I had written over the past like year, I was really, really inspired by a lot of like slasher movies and stuff like that. So I sat back down and watched my favorites, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, a whole bunch of like even new stuff, because Shudder is an amazing service.
Yes,
and just kind of like immersing myself back into that area of my brain that's just like, media is king, because like I love movies so much. And but like that's the biggest process I think for me whenever I'm writing something, even if it's like something like Vampires and Ghosts, where it's just kind of like I have to read all of this stuff, research material on the internet and stuff like that, but it's just like I also need a ghost movie in the background just so I can retain some of that spooky.
yeah. That's so cool. Have you ever seen the In Search of Darkness movies?
I haven't yet. I have them both literally lined up. I just finished Queer for Fear,
That was
and
so good.
I love that. I love that documentary so much.
Was really good. Yeah, that's another Shudder original. You just made me think, like, Dracula's Daughter, I haven't seen it yet, but I've been wanting to see it since I watched that documentary, and I need to see it.
It's so good.
Is it
Please,
really?
it's so good. It's one of those. I honestly think that if like the horror community in itself didn't keep talking about it, especially the queer horror community didn't keep talking about it, it would have just flew by the wayside. Because it's like one of those movies where it's just like, oh, okay, that happened. Now we can move on from life. But I'm just like, it is such a good representation of the universal monster as queer. Because you don't
Yeah.
see like, and I mean, like, we've had, the Frankenstein, the Dracula and stuff like that, but it's kind of just like that it's not explicit, but it's there, and
Right.
that's important.
Yeah.
Like there's also like the original The Haunting, which
Yes.
so much queer context in that movie,
Yeah.
so much exceptional film technique, it's just so much, and it's so incredible to me. Even like Rebecca, which is like another ghost film, which
Right.
is kind of just like a lot of queer context, a lot of
Yeah.
incredible camera work, but it's still there. I remember even like watching, oh my God, what was that one movie? Because it really helped me like understand who I was as a kid. And I think it actually was the original. No, it was Rosemary's Baby. Because Rosemary's Baby like really got me in a way of just like, it helped me understand gender,
Wow.
which
Wow.
is insane. And I wrote my term paper on the exploitation of Rosemary's body.
Wow.
And my teacher was like, "Are you kidding? What's going on in that
Oh, that's an awesome, that's a
breast?"
thesis.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was all like that's there was a whole thing of there's like a whole genre of like female bodies under the control of males, like the yellow wallpaper and the Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby, and like that's awesome. We're just talking about BS stuff. Okay, you put recipes in this in these books. What was the Chilling with Ghosts has a parfait, right?
Oh, the graveyard perfect.
And Hanging with Vampires has garlic bread, which I really want to make. It's adorable, but like, what was like, was that your idea? Like, what, why? That's, it's awesome.
That was more of my editor's idea, because she was just like, I kind of want to make treats. And I was just like, we can make treats. What treat do you want? And so the garlic bread, we were just like, let's just get like I spent so long making the garlic bread too, because I took like five different recipes and then mashed them together and was just like, what would be the perfect garlic bread if you wanted to just like blow on a vampire and then have their face kind of like melt? Like, what would be that for me? And so like I made it, and then we put it in, and I was just like, yay, stinky garlic breath. And then for the graveyard parfait, it was a lot of like trying to balance the healthy and the unhealthy and being just like cookie crumbles, but also yogurt. So we had to kind of like balance it out. But it was a lot of my editor being just like, we should make some spooky treats. And it was just like, yeah, let's make some spooky treats. And that was adorable. I love trying them out. Like, I love actually being able to write the recipes down, try them out, and then go to my editor and be like, so that didn't work. So like, can we like put a pause on like this right now so I can like finagle it? And she's just like, yeah, go
That's awesome. You also have in both these books toolkits for, you know, encountering these creatures. And adorably, you put, you know, bring water because you can, you need to hydrate.
Yeah.
And also bring snacks because you need to eat, and bring a jacket. But then, like, you know, the other stuff too. There was a book that I'm definitely way older than you, but there was a book that I read as a kid that your book actually reminds me of. I gotta remember the author's name. I've been looking at my Goodreads. The book is called How to Catch a Ghost.
Ooh.
And it came out, How to Catch a Ghost by Stuart A. Callan, came out in 1991. It like blew my mind when I was a little kid, like blew my mind. And Chilling with Ghosts reminds me of it.
Oh, no, I love that. Sorry.
When did Vampires come out?
Last year, I want to say around the same time.
So have you had experiences with readers and stuff, like any good experiences with like kids being like,
oh my god,
spooky soul?
I've had so many really lovely experiences. Like for Vampires, we had a whole bunch of kids. Like every school that I would visit, I would ask the question at the end of the presentation because I knew it was going to take like maybe like 15 to 20 minutes for everybody. But I wanted to use the toolkit in a way to be like, what would you yourself put into your vampire, like your Fang tactical vampire toolkit? And then they would come up with some of the wildest answers, like using a bazooka to spray garlic and to shoot garlic at a vampire, grade the garlic over a vampire while they're sleeping. and I would be like, I love the brains of children. Like, it's so funny.
It's like, spend the time thinking about like, how would I deal with a vampire? Like, these are important things to think about.
Yeah. And then what would be so cute is they would just like look at me for approval and be like, is that a good idea? And I'm just like, any idea that you have is a good idea. Just make sure that you don't like evaporate yourself in the process. Like, yeah. That's all I'm saying. And even with ghosts, I had a couple of experiences like recently where like my friends from who work at libraries would tell me like, hey, this is like, these books, like, people love them, and that's insane. And I'm just like, thank you. And then like there was a girl who one of my friends said really, really wanted to buy a book, and I was just like, well, I'll send one to you and then she can have it. And then she was just like, you don't have to do that. And I'm just like, no, I can. I mean, I have books. Let me just send you a book. And like, if she really loves it, I want her to like have it. And I was just, it's been so, everybody's been so kind. Everybody's been so gentle with me because like I'm really like a shy puppy when it comes to like doing like appearances and stuff like that. But everybody has been so sweet and the reception has been so lovely. And I'm like, thank you all so much.
It must feel amazing.
It's really, really, really nice. And especially because like I get to work with like people who believe in the spooky vision of it all.
Yeah.
And they try not to, I could tell that they try not to want to reel me in, but like, they're just kind of like, you know, but I work with some of the kindest people, and I'm really, really, really grateful and lucky that I get to like rate these and do anything that I get to do, but it's just so, it's so lovely.
That's so awesome. That's really great. Good for you.
Thank you.
Can you tell me a little bit about Dismember?
Yeah. So I need to re-up that. We haven't written for it for a while because me and my writing partner, Justin, shout out, my guy, my brother. We've kind of been like very, very busy, but Dismember is basically a love of the horror genre in general, where me and him, we get to just like talk about horror, do things within the horror community, and we just get to kind of like roll out what we love about the genre.
Yeah.
And it was really important to me to have like that little safe space for the both of us, because it's like we see like the horror community sometimes and we're just kind of like, that's a mess, we'll be over here now.
Right.
And but we love everybody within the genre, and we love the genre, so we just really wanted to create something that makes us both feel proud that we've created, and also just talk about the thing that we love most, which is just horror, and honestly just genre films in general.
Right. Yeah, I was just looking today and I saw he your writing partner did a review of Shin Ultraman, which was a really cool movie.
Oh my god, he loved it.
So it's like
he loved it. I think he like immediately
really good.
DM'd me and was just like, yo, this was dope. I'm just like, I love that.
The best superhero movie in a long time, and I feel like people aren't talking about it. But that's the nerdy life. Well, it was such a amazing pleasure to have you on. You're a lovely person. Please, please come back and talk about everything that you write. I'm gonna keep collecting your stuff because they're beautiful and great, and you should be proud of yourself.
Oh, thank you so much.
We end every episode of Pop Culture Man Children by quoting the great animal from Muppet Babies. We say go bye bye. Can you say go bye bye for us?
I love Muppet Babies so much, so that's dope. Okay, so go bye-bye.